I want to thank the elders here for inviting me to come. Me and my family have been having a wonderful time. We've been treated far beyond what we deserve. And we thank each and every one of you, and we can looking forward to the rest of the week. As I asked before, I ask again that you grab your Bible and follow along. Because if there's a mistake made, it's my fault. And I would be proud and honored if you would let me know of it, because God does not make mistakes. But I'm human, and sometimes I do make mistakes. So if you find one or you catch one, please bring it to my attention so I can correct it. I appreciate all that. The lesson tonight is on temptation. Since the beginning, when God breathed life into man, temptation has been there. What is temptation? Well, James describes it as, if we turn over to the first chapter of James, starting at verse 12, James wrote, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Too many people in the world are blaming other people for their problems and blaming people for the temptations. Well, it's not my fault it happened. It's not in my hands to control it. Well, as we see here, temptation is on you. It's when you're drawn away by your desires. Each of us are not tempted by the same thing. We all have different temptations, but yet they're on us. If you fall into temptation, it's on you. My desires may not be yours, and you, vice versa. You may have different desires, different things that tempt you. But I want to look at two examples of temptation in the Bible. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start with the very first temptation, and we want to see how it plays out. Starting in verse 1. "So now the serpent was more cunning than the beasts of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate." Now we see an example of a human being, a woman, her name was Eve, being tempted by her own desires. Now, the serpent was there to instigate it, but she was actually being tempted by the desire she had. Now I want you to look at the second example. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.' And he answered to him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" We have two examples here of people being tempted in the same way, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want you to notice, the difference is Jesus used the Word of God to defend, to overcome. Eve did not. They were both tempted the same way. These are the temptations we deal with every day. If you turn over to John, 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." All of us are tempted. These are the three categories that temptation fall in. We may not be tempted by all of them at the same time, or each one may have a different temptation, but they all fall into those categories. Eve was tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Jesus was tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And as I said, Jesus overcame by using God's Word. We can too. We can overcome by using God's Word to defend against temptation. How do we overcome temptation? With self-discipline. What is self-discipline? Well, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, correction or regulation of oneself for the sake of improvement. The New King James uses the word temperance for self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Turn over there with me. 'Says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And anyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Olympic runners must practice self-discipline to become the best. The same things for a Christian. We don't wake up after you're baptized the next day, having self-control. No one does. We have to practice it. We have to learn self-control. We have to learn to bridle this tongue. We have to learn to censor ourselves, to look at things the way God does. When we start going through life without guidance, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah, it's not in man to direct his own steps. So if we're using our own thought process to lead us, we're doing the wrong thing. Self-discipline is a fruit of the Spirit. If you look in Galatians chapter 5, it gives you a list of the fruits of the Spirit. And self-discipline is one of them. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 through 25. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." The fruits of the Spirit, if you'll notice, are all good things. They're there to help us, to teach us. If you back up a little bit farther, you can read a list of other things that are not good for you. But that's a different scenario, or a different lesson in itself. The Spirit, through the Word, teaches us how to develop self-control. In 2 Peter chapter 5, or chapter 1, starting in verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and you abound, you will never you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. We have a list. I talked earlier in the week about some places baptizing members and then not teaching them. And then someone asked me one time, well, what do we teach them? I said, you go to Peter. It gives you a stepping stool. You add to your faith. Faith is what caused us to believe in the first place. It caused us to want to be a Christian. So you add to that faith virtue. You add to your virtue knowledge. You add to your knowledge self-control or perseverance. And if you notice, temperance comes after knowledge. You have to understand before you can learn how to control yourself. You have to understand what God expects. We could sit there and pretend that we know what God wants and play around and say, well, you know, I think if I was to just be a good person, I can get to heaven. I know people that believe that. There are many good people out there who are not going to make it. There are many good people I've talked to in Piedmont and Patterson area that I've tried to study with. They're good people. They got great hearts. They have all the attributes of a Christian. It's just they haven't made that step. And they feel that they don't have to. But it gives us a guideline here. Peter tells us, here's how you grow. Here's how you grow as a Christian, spiritually. You feed yourself God's Word. How to develop self-discipline? Begin with the I can attitude. Paul had an I can attitude. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. In Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That word there, I can do all things, eliminates everything. Whatever you're doing, if you have Christ on your side or you do it through Christ, you can make it. You can do anything that God expects of you. You can meet any temptation. You can fulfill any command. You can bear any trial. You can perform any duty that you're asked to perform. You can live any circumstance. A lot of us go through a lot of hardship in our lives. But with God on our side and Christ on our side, we can get through it. Sometimes it feels like we're all alone, but we're not. God's there with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Get my pages to work here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overcome you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I'm going to give you guys a pointer. Here's how you know. Here's that little escape that God has given us. It's called a word, no. When you start thinking about doing something that you know is wrong, guess what? God gives you an out. You have to make a conscious decision to step across the line. Just say no. Don't do it. Don't step across the line. We struggle with ourselves. That temptation is just right there on teeter-totting on the edge, and you're like trying to make up your mind whether or not you're going to do it. That's God's giving you that out. He's letting you know, don't do it. You have to make a conscious decision to step across the line into temptation. God lets us know that we don't have to. He's given us a way out. Sometimes it feels that we can't bear it, but there is a way out. God will be there for you. Since God expects you to control yourself, you can do it. You can say no. You can bridle your tongue. That's one of the hardest things to do in the world. That's one of the things I do every day. I try to think before I speak. It's the best way to do it. I was telling a few of the members here and the elders, my biggest fear from being in the world so long is to stand up professing God's word and to get emotional and to say a curse word. That's my biggest fear. So as I stand up here, I'm running through everything I'm getting ready to say, trying not to step across that line. But the best way I've learned to bridle my tongue is keep my mouth shut. My wife wished I'd do that more often. But she still loves me anyway. But that's how we do it. You just bridle your tongue. You learn, you know what you can say and what you can't say. You just have to learn to control it. You can quit what you know to do, what you know to be wrong. If you know it's wrong, it's easy to quit. But Alan, you've never been addicted to anything. Yes, I have. I still struggle with addictions here and there, but I fight my way through them. God gives me the choice. I have to make that choice. It comes down to, do I want to make it to heaven? Do I want to go there? Am I willing to put in the effort? Am I willing to say no to my friends, my family, those who want me to go out and do things with them? I cut off ties with many people who were my friends and some so-called friends. You have a lot of so-called friends. I'm a loner. I became a loner. I became a hermit because I had to be, because hanging around those people was not good for me. Hanging around people with bad influence is not good for you because it draws you away from God. That's a proven fact. Bernice Riggins would be a sister in Christ in Missouri. I love her to death. She's been a Christian, I'll say about 15 years. She's in her 80s. She fought her way through the denominational world and she finally found God. And she brought up a deal, I'm pretty sure people have heard this before. This old man was talking about Christianity and he was saying Christians are like a fire. Bunch of coals in the bottom of the fire. You take one of them coals, you rake it out of that fire, and you let it sit there by itself, it'll go dead. It'll go out. But if you take that coal and you put it back in there with the rest of them, it'll light back up. That's the same thing with life. Whoever you surround yourself with, that's who you're going to become like. So you try to stay away from the people that are bad influences on you. I wish I'd have known that when I was younger. You can make yourself do what you know you need to do. A lot of us need to exercise, but we're not talking about physical things here. We're talking about spiritual things. We know what we need to do, and we know we have to do it. A lot of times we neglect our studies or our reading or our focus on God. We'll get sidetracked by things of the world. We have to get back on track. We've got to put ourselves back in the situation to where every time we think about doing something, put God first. Set aside time every day to pray. Set aside time every day to talk to God one-on-one, to study, to read, to do things that God wants you to do. There's many things in this world we can do as Christians that are fun. Everybody thinks Christianity is just boring, dull people. Well, they haven't met you guys. You guys are very fun to be with, very entertaining. But yet, the world seems to have some kind of entertainment, something else other than God's Word. You can do without some things that you may desire or want. I want a 57 Chevy. That's my desire. That's my biggest downfall in life, is a real size 57 Chevy. I've been talking about a 57 Chevy since I've been preaching the gospel. I have five little 57 Chevys that people keep putting on the pulpit saying there's your 57 Chevy. So I always tell them, you know, that would be my biggest desire. I would have to struggle with that. If I seen a 57 Chevy sitting on the side of the road, candy apple red, with flames coming down the side and the keys in the ignition, I would be very hard stretched not to get in there and take it for a ride. But I'm pretty sure, I pray that I'd be strong enough not to. And if any of you guys are there with me, you grab me and make sure I don't. You can overcome habits and practices that you have learned and developed. Now, you notice that? Habits and practices, things you've learned or developed. Every habit, every practice you didn't have when you were born, you had to learn them. And people say, you can't quit habits. Yeah, they're very hard, but you can quit certain things. Well, you can quit anything that you start doing. But some of the things you need help with. There are addictions that you need medical help with to come off, to stop doing, because your body has become used to it. There's a lot of people say, well, just quitting cold turkey is great. It's easy. Well, it's not, because it's bad on your system. But temptation, we all deal with it. Everyone, Christian and non-Christian. It's just, how do we as Christians deal with it? Do we continue to live like the world and follow their advice and their guidance? Or do we go to the Bible and look at Peter and see what Peter says? How he tells us to build ourselves as Christians. We can look at the other examples that are in the Bible. We can see Paul, how he went from being a man who was trying to destroy the church to one of the prominent men in the church. He overcame many temptations. We can overcome them as well. If you struggle with temptation, talk to the elders, talk to the preacher, talk to the members. There's someone always there that can help you get through it. We have our own little unit of, what do they call it? When you have a group where everybody's trying to do the same thing, like AA meeting, you know, you got your help support groups. We got it all over the world. I came 1,700 miles, and I got a support group right here. It's wonderful. Anywhere you travel in the world, you have brethren who will help you if you're struggling. A lot of times people forget that. When I was downed, I was in and out of the church when I was younger. I never knew that. I never thought about that. When I moved out of town, I was living by myself. And then things, hard times come on. I never even thought once about going to the brethren and asking for help, because I felt so guilty. That's the hard part about coming forward. The hardest part when you've become a Christian and you've fallen and picking yourself up and coming down that aisle and sitting on that front row, you feel that everyone is judging you. But you don't realize they're not. Everyone has been there. And they're trying to help you. But it's that what mankind has distilled in us of that fear. Well, they're not going to like you. They're going to hate you. Oh, you're lower than them, or they're better than you. No, we're equal. We're brethren. That's what the Bible says. Some of us may be more prominent in society, but as Christian brethren, we're equal. We all get the same reward. I mean, we have different roles within the church, so we do have a structure. But I'm talking about the end result. We are all equal. We all get the same glory that the Son of God gets. Temptation is the hardest part for mankind because it's there every day. It's not something that you can just put away in the closet and not see it till later. The devil is out there. We see that in the very first scenario that we talked about with Eve. The serpent was there. Guess what he was doing? Instigating. But didn't God say you can eat from every tree? Oh, the reason he don't want you eating from that one is because you'll know good from evil. You'll be just like him. Enticed. And you got friends. Have you ever had a friend say, oh, come on, just one time. Come on, one more time. Come on. I got a lot of friends, ex-friends like that. I've tried to get on my feet and say, you know what? I'm going to strive to do what's right. Oh, no, excuse me, I apologize. I'm going to try to do what's right. And I have a friend, hey, Alan, let's go out. Let's go shoot some pool, play some darts. Okay, I can do that. I can go down to a bar and I'm okay. I won't have to drink or nothing. Remember when I was talking about surrounding yourself with the right kind of people? Because I'd get in there, we'd be shooting pool, playing darts. Pretty soon I'd have one beer, two beer, three beer, and then I'm right back doing the same thing I was doing before. Pick myself up the next day, kick myself, and just... I finally came to the point in my life where it was like, I'm done. I don't have the words, so I'm just making up words. I was done. I couldn't do it anymore. It was down to, well, I can't commit suicide because that's a sin. And even though I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I still believe it. I still trust in it. It's just I didn't have that faith. You know, one of the gifts, the nine gifts, was faith. That's one of the nine gifts. I wished I had that one. Because that's where I had a hard time. The doubts in my mind, the second guessing myself. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that actually mean? Then I realized, the Bible says God created everything. I look around. Trees, water, stars. This hand behind my head that's moving. I know it's moving because my brain's making it move. But how does it do that? That's what got me to start thinking about God. Was that hand. That taking your mind and moving that finger. There's no man can explain that. They can tell you the mechanics. They can tell you, well, your brain thinks something, goes through and makes it do that. But how does my brain know to think that? Where did my brain come from, the thoughts that I have? And you go back to the beginning. Let us create man in our image. So in God's image, we have intellect. We have knowledge. We have the thought process. We can overcome. So what do? Do we sit and think about what has mankind got to offer me? Or do we look at what God has to offer us? And then temptation becomes a little bit less of a problem. The more you deal with God, or the more you put God inside you, the less you have to deal with the world. Because it becomes easier to overlook things. So you know what? I don't even need to go out there. I have one friend left. His name is Gary Dilbeck. He was with me when I first started down the wrong path. But you know what? He's with me now. He's still doing all his stuff, but he's never said, hey. He's one person that never said, come on, Alan, come on, come on. He always said, you're your own person. You want to do it, you do it. When I called him and I was talking to him and I told him, I said, well, I'm a gospel preacher. He started laughing. He goes, that means Vince is the Pope? Because Vince was one of our other buddies. And I went down and saw him one day and we were sitting there talking and he started out an atheist about 20 years ago. He didn't believe in God. Him and I just talking over the last few years. Now he's an agnostic. He believes in something. That's what he's getting closer. But there's a church down in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I think they're a faithful congregation down there. And he asked me, he goes, I was thinking about going to church the other day. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll call down there and get one of the brethren and come pick you up. He called me back a little bit later. He goes, well, I'm going to think about it for a while. But this is somebody who didn't believe in God, slowly working. Because his friend became a preacher. He started looking like, why would Alan change? I was the worst of the bunch. I'm serious. I was not a good person. If I met myself, if I knew myself today was standing in front of me 20 years ago, was right here, I'd punch myself right in the face. That's how bad a person I was. I'm not proud of who I was, but I use it to teach others. To show others that temptation can get a hold of you, but you can overcome it. God gives us all we need to overcome temptation. We have to decide whether or not we love Him enough to do His will or to do your own. God tells us that we have to follow His instructions. The plan of salvation, every preacher, every Sunday, well, most every Sunday, always do the same plan of salvation. Why? Because that's the only plan we got. It's the full plan. It's not partial. We hear the Word of God. Whether it be by listening to someone preach or reading it for ourselves. Because Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That kind of confused me when I was little. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I got to looking up and I realized what that's saying is, your faith comes from the actual understanding of the Word of God. Not because someone told you, oh, there's a God. It's because you start understanding it. That's the hearing part. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing or understanding comes from the Word of God. God gives us that knowledge. He gives us understanding so that we know it's truth. And we know He loved us enough to send His Son. We have to believe what we have read and what we have heard and what we've studied. You have to believe it with all your heart. You can't second guess it. That's where faith comes in. Our faith and belief are tied together. Your faith is that you believe what the Bible says. You believe what God says. You believe what the pattern is. You were willing to change your life. Repent. Repentance is a military term. You ever heard of an about face? Those in the military, you'd stand this way and you'd do an about face. That means you're repenting because you've been walking away from God. Now you're turning back and walking towards Him and focusing on Him. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You confess it with your heart. You believe with your mouth. You confess. And that's in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We do these things so that when we're ready to be baptized, we understand why we're being baptized. We're being baptized for the remission of sin. And it's at that point that the blood of Christ washes our sins away. And then you can start living as a Christian. But you have to remain faithful for the rest of your life. Too many brethren get to that one point and they think, well, I can't do nothing else. Sad thing is, we got to keep faithful until the last remaining breath. We all understand God loves us, but He also is a very strict God. He tells us we need to remain faithful throughout our lives. But if we stumble, we fall, guess what? He helps pick us up, and He forgives us of that sin too. If you're not a Christian, and you'd like to become a Christian, you'd like to be added, God to add you to the church, you could come forward, follow these steps, and be baptized. If you are a Christian and you're struggling, as I was at one time, ask for prayer. You don't have, these seats are not here to embarrass anyone. These are seats of strength. You have to have strength to come down here and sit down here and ask for things. People don't like to ask for stuff. I'm going to ask something from everybody here. I want to ask that you pray for me, that I continue to have strength, that I continue to have faith, that I don't falter. I will pray for you every night for good health, for good spiritual health, and that God blesses all of you. If there's anything we can do for you tonight, please come forward as together.